cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
Father, we thank you this evening. Again, we are here again at your feet. We've come as you have desired again, Father, to receive from you an impartation of life, a release of life from you. Spirit of God, we tune our hearts to you. We bring our hearts under subjection to you. We come under the weight of your presence, of your spirit, your anointing. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this season of the Spirit, which you have just ushered us into. We are sensitive towards it. We are not careless. We are circumspect. We are sober. We ask for help this evening, Lord. We ask for help to access the Spirit. The Spirit that teaches all things, the Spirit who searches all things, the things of the new man, of the new creation. We've come to your season, Spirit of God. This is your season, the season of your unveiling. The season of your revelation. Holy Spirit, we come into waiting in our hearts for you. We take our lamps as the wise virgins with oil, and we wait. Upon this season, we wait. We move out of hastiness into seasons of patience. We are waiting for the bridegroom who you will bring to us. We are waiting to be clothed with our garments to meet him. Holy Spirit, we allow our hearts to come into the series of baptisms in this season, one after the other. We ask for help to drink inward enlargement of our vessel, increase of our vessel, capacity within our souls, expansion, lengthen our cords, expand our tents, so we can gather in, O God. We take wine. We receive wine. This new wine, we drink. We drink, we drink, we drink, we drink, we drink.
Yes.
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 So that my spirit can have its way in you.
Yes, yes. This is the season that the refiner's fire has come to you. To form you, to mold you, to shape you into a building that I can inhabit in. Into a glorious building that will be filled with my glory. My fire, my refiner's fire is coming to burn away those things that are in you. Those things are still in you that is not of me. For you to enter into this holy place, you must come to this place clean. My fire is falling down from heaven to consume, to burn every life that is not of me. To consume everything that is not my own that is in you. And when my fire comes and consumes, my spirit will have its way in you. Teaching you my ways. Bringing you into my life. Giving you my eyes. That you will see as I see. Because I want you to see as I see. But you need my revelation to see as I see. And my revelation will come when my fire has fallen. When I have consumed the things in you that are not of me. And my spirit will flow through you. I will pour out my spirit onto you. I will give you a piece of me, my own self, my own life. But for you to carry my things. For you to carry eternal things, you must be purified. You must go through fire and come through it. You must be able to stand through the fire. I will pour out my spirit onto you. I am pouring out my spirit. But I must first make a way. I must first consume everything that is in you that is not of me. I am pouring out my spirit. I am giving you myself. So I will make you. I will mold you. I will form you. And when I have molded you, when I have formed you, when I have built you up, I will pour out my spirit into you. I am making a covenant with you this day. I am promising you my life. I am giving you my life.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
But I must first do a work before I can give you all of me. I must first purify you. This is your season of purification. This is that season of sanctification to be consecrated unto me. This is that season. This is that season. The ancient season, the ancient things are coming to you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. La lola de 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 la lola de
I have spoken. I will not go back on my words. I have made a covenant with you. I will not alter my word, neither will I break my covenant. I will purify you. I will mold you. I will make you into the image of my Son. For only Him can I commit myself unto. So I will make you like Him so that you can carry me. I will make you in His image, for He is mine and I am His. And I will make you like Him so that you can carry my life. I will not go back on my word. I will not go back on my word. I have spoken. And I will fulfill my promise to you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and glorify your name for these utterances and this visitation tonight. This is just the beginning. Thank you because new doors are being opened by the Spirit, because through the measure of the Spirit, new feeling, because of new feeling, we're coming to new things by Him. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. I yield myself to you, Lord. If there's anything left that hasn't yielded in me, may be yielded completely tonight. Help me, Father, to be able to bring utterance and definition to this blessing in the Spirit tonight. Take my tongue, use my tongue, use my heart, use me. Help me, Father. Use my mind, use me, Father, so that we can be blessed. Holy Spirit of God, we ask you, come and bring us into this life, into this experience, in the Scriptures tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. When the tongues came through Sheol, I picked the interpretation of it. I perceive it was a declaration of a breaking forth of entering into a new place, into a new terrain spiritually. I believe God wants to move us forward in the Spirit. The measure of the experience of God we have is a function of the allocation of the Spirit, right? So if sometimes you can go through one allocation, come to the end of it, and there has to be a renewal of it. And I sense strongly that we are coming into a new allocation, which will be marked with new things, new discoveries. Praise the Lord. Even in the Word, because the Word operates the Spirit. Sorry, the Word operates the Spirit. The Spirit operates the Word. Praise God. So they always follow each other. They operate together. You can't actually separate them. They come. Sometimes you see the Spirit bringing the Word. Sometimes you see the Word bringing the Spirit. Amen. And so that's the way. We just have to follow. We have to tag with the experiences that heaven is bringing to us.
Praise the Lord. One of my greatest prayer every time is just, you know, the spirit is slippery, it's easy to miss it, and so I'm still learning, but I'm trying to be careful just to discern the season, to discern, because if we can't discern accurately, we can't be blessed accurately. So I'm trusting God that we'll receive more help from above, and what I'm really seeing in this season, a lot of individual blessings. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it. There's been, you know, from the beginning of this year, it's like a fountain opened up in our midst, and we've been drinking of it. But I'm seeing now the Lord wants to begin to do specific works in each one of us, grounding in the Word, grounding in the Spirit. God wants to give us portions out of this allocation. So I want us to be sensitive to this time. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. Makra hatisha pra atanisa provendo. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heaven is closer to us. Heaven is closer. We can smell it. We can feel it. We can tell these are different times upon the earth. These are blessed times on the earth. Father, it's by mercy, Lord. It's your mercy that's just so abundant towards us. We can't tell. Father, thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We worship you, El Festinator. Sariada has to prosh the fender hetamata. Hasta prado shataya. Oshtani asafrete feast, pras the feast. Zevastimito on the beat, pras the feast. Is the mile, is the feast on a sea, a sea. He's the feast. It's a feast. A feast. It's a feast. For he's the feast. It's a feast. A feast. A feast. A feast. A feast. A feast. It is a feast. It's a spirit feast. It's a feast. A feast of the spirit. Spirit of the spirit. Come to eat. To drink. Eat and drink. The eating and drinking of the spirit. It's a feast. It's my feast. My spiritual feast. My spiritual feast. It is, yes, yes, it is my season. The season of my feast. The season of my feast. My feast. So I want to feast with you. To feast with you. I want to bring you into my table. Make you sup with me. Sup with me. Eat my things. Feed on my things. Eat my things. Eat my things. Eat, 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 eat my things. Feast on me. Feast, 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 feast on me. Feast on me. Feasts. There is a feast before you. There is a great feast before you, even in this season. Partake, partake of this feast. Eat, 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 eat the feast. Eat, 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 eat and be nourished. Eat and become fat. Come and eat, feast of fatness, of fat things. Be made fat, you shall be made fat. Even the lean soul, even the lean soul shall be fattened by this great feast. Even the lean soul shall eat and be fat. Eat and drink. Yeah. Even the heavy heart shall drink and be made merry. Even the heavy heart shall be gladdened by the wine of this feast. Drink this wine. Drink this wine. Drink. Drink and be made glad. Be made glad. Be made glad. Take my cup. Take the cup in the spirit. Take my cup in the spirit. And drink, drink my cup. Don't shy away from my cup. Drink my cup. Drink. Drink. For my cup is drink indeed. My flesh is meat indeed. Even my flesh is that meat for you. Even my blood is the cup for you. Even the blood of my testament, the blood of my testimony, is the cup for you to drink. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Freshti al safata el gis te friendis. Faralas te fi el te fratas te fra. Aila si al di is te faya. El centres te va. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. Just use the little time we have left to shall the brush the for yellow side. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
It says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Bless you. Ye are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, or to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, how much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with was glorious, how much more that which remaineth is glorious. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold or look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared, right, to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Praise God. Amen. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. This was his second letter to them. Okay. There's a distinction between his first letter, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. So there was a time gap in between when he wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, through his writing in 1 Corinthians, there are some characteristics that you could deduce from the state of the church in 1 Corinthians. One of the things you remember is that he called them babes, right? Remember that. He called them babes. He said they are babes in Christ. It's when he came in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. It says, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Right? "I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Amen. So babes in Christ are carnal. Right, that's the characteristic of babes. They are carnal. What does it mean to be carnal? It means they are bodily, or they are fleshly, they are outward, carnal. Right, they are babes. So babies are carnal. The opposite of being carnal is being spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he said, I tried to address you as spiritual, but I could not speak to you. Right, as spiritual, but as what? Carnal. Amen.
Amen.
So the opposite of being a baby is to be what? Spiritual. Babies are not spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
Babies are what?
Spiritual.
What does it mean? Spiritual. Spirit. Amen. Spirit, spiritual means babies can't cooperate with spirit. They can't, they are, that's not just cooperation, but obviously they can't cooperate with the spirit. But the reason why they can't cooperate with the spirit is because their nature is not spirit. Spiritual means spiritual nature. They inwardly, they are not spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They are carnal. That word spiritual and carnal are descriptions of the soul. Right? They are soul descriptions. Right? They are not body descriptions or spirit description. It's the soul. It's the soul that is either spiritual or carnal. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When the soul tends more towards the outward man, he's carnal. When it tends more towards the inward man, he's what? He's spirit, because he's more inclined towards the spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So a soul that is not spiritual is a baby. A soul that is not a baby, when you grow, so a soul that has come out of babyhood becomes spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That tells you that spiritual, to grow, spiritual growth means becoming spiritual. It sounds just like, sounds like English, but these things have to, the understanding has to rest on your soul. Amen.
Yeah.
When you know this, you will now begin to realize that baby Christian is not what you think baby Christians are.
Yes.
Amen. You now realize that someone can be a Christian for 50 years and be baby. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. If your soul is not spiritual, you are a baby. You are just a big baby with beards and everything. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. I couldn't speak unto you. This is a problem. If the apostle can't speak to you, you know, Paul had a message in a place. He spoke of the dispensation which God has given to me for you. God raised him up. God gave him a message. So he said, I couldn't speak unto you as on, because the things which you only speak spiritual things to a spiritual man. Right? Because the carnal mind is limited. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The carnal mind does not accept. The Bible says a carnal mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Why? Because they are what? They are foolishness to him. So Paul cannot speak to them as unto spiritual, because spiritual things are foolishness to babes. Praise the Lord. So he can't speak spiritual things to them. Now, you can't hear what the Spirit is saying if you are a baby. Right? There are spiritual things. There are things that are spiritual. Praise the Lord. There are things that are spiritual. There are things that are carnal. Amen. Now he said, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as what? Unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Praise the Lord. See verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither ye yet now. You see, in verse 1, he spoke to them as in past tense. You understand? Mm. It means I had some encounters with you before. Mm. At that time, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Praise the Lord. Mm. In verse 2, he's now saying, verse 3, sorry, that state, you are still in that state. He says, verse 2, right?
Yeah.
Says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So even now, you are still carnal. Praise the Lord. You can't bear meat. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, he says, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, are ye not carnal and what? What does that tell you? It means men are carnal, right? That word "walk as men" means just as mere men. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Mm. Amen. Praise God. So there's something about the inward nature and how you walk. Right? Those who walk as men, I mean mere men, are not spiritual. So if you are not spiritual inwardly, you will live a mere life. Just like everybody else. Like mere men. Going to church does not separates you from men. Or going to church, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Going to church does not bring separation in terms of your expression of life. You know, you can go to church and be a worker in church and everything, but when they really, you know, in the inwardly and the life you are able to live, you can't measure out a life that is different from the life of men, the prescribed life that men live on the earth. It means there's no difference. Things that people live for and die for, you still live for those things and die for those things. You will be the same. The only difference is that on Sunday you carry your Bible and go to church. Or those who go 5 times a week, you go 5 times a week and come back. But you are still mere. You're just mere. Mere men. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But to come out of that, because the destiny, why you are born again, you are not born again to remain the same. It's that will be futile. But you are born again to be able to chart a different course as a person, to come into a new life, a new kind of life. Praise God.
Amen.
You are born again to access a spiritual life, right? Inwardly, that will produce a spiritual life expression. But the fact that you are born again doesn't produce life expression. Because when you are born again, nobody is born an adult. You are born a baby. Praise God.
Amen.
And as long as you are a baby, you can't produce what? Spiritual expression. So Paul wrote this letter to them, 1 Corinthians. You see, he dealt with a lot of things. Even by the time you get to chapter 14, you see, this chapter 14 in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, by then that church was functioning in all the gifts. As a matter of fact, he told them, you come behind in no gift, right? They had all the gifts. Chapter 14 was actually a writing where he began to tell them how to manage speaking in tongues and interpretation and all that, and prophecies in the church. Praise the Lord. So that tells you that gifts of the Spirit don't equal being spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
First Corinthians, if you enter, you see this, where this meeting is today, you know, tongues, interpretation, presence, and the Spirit and everything. I'm sure if you went to that church, you will see those kind of things there.
Hmm.
You will see, you know, utterance coming and all that. But that church, with all that, they were still carnal. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that tells us that spirituality is more than gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Gifts of the Spirit are gifts. They are gifts because you are born again. The Holy Spirit gives those gifts. They are not your own. You understand? Those gifts are not born. They are not like fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is your human spirit. It's not fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can call it fruit of the Holy Spirit in that it's the Holy Ghost that works it out in your spirit. But it's actually fruit of the Spirit, of your spirit. Praise the Lord. So it's your own. So fruit of the Spirit means your own spirit is bearing those fruit in your soul. Those fruit are fruit that are born in the soul by virtue of the soul's connection, or the soul having root in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But gifts of the Spirit, they are the Holy Ghost gifts which He gives. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are not entitled to them, right? They are gifts. He gives them. So if they are His own, He causes them to be operational whenever He wants. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
But that is not a nature. It's not a nature. So a carnal soul can what? Have gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he can have it and master it and know it and become a guru in it. To the point where he becomes a consultant. You know, some people have become consultant prophesiers. So you just come and prophesy for us, and you call them and they prophesy and go. Contract prophesiers, prophets. Praise God. Now, all those things are not nature. Amen. You see, what I'm seeing in my heart tonight is just begin to bring definition to that thing, spirituality, to understand that that's something we don't really understand. The New Testament definition of being spiritual. What it means to be spiritual is not that I can speak in tongues and all that. Amen. But people who are spiritual do those things. But that is not the metric of their spirituality. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Being spiritual is an inward nature. The word spiritual is talking about the kind of life you're living. What kind of life is finding expression? Someone can prophesy and speak in tongues, and immediately after they do it, they go out and do something else. They're walking in disobedience. People can do that.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 But being spiritual is an inward configuration. It means that you have come into a life that is beyond the life of man. Amen.
Amen.
It is a life which the Holy Ghost came to give. He came to deliver the life of the Spirit. Do you know that thing, Spirit, spiritual, Spirit, Spirit. Say Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit is God's nature. God is Spirit. Jesus said that, right? Bible also call him the Father of Spirits. So if he's the Father of Spirits, means he is also Spirit. Means he spins out, he brings forth Spirit from himself. Amen.
Amen.
So it means that he inwardly, he is actually a Spirit. Amen. It's his inward nature, that nature of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That nature of God is called Spirit. God's the divine nature is Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The Father of Spirit. And the Bible now says, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So they are not speaking of Spirit, that whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. They are not speaking of that in terms of gifts. He said whatever is born of the Spirit. Praise God. The Holy Ghost can give you a gift of the Spirit, but he might not have given birth to you.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have become born of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You can have gifts of the Spirit, but you are not born of the Spirit.
Mm.
What does it mean to be born? It means that you are derived out of the Spirit.
Mm.
You are a derivative of the Spirit. Mm. You came out of him, an offspring of the Spirit.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Remember the Bible says you're receiving a spiritual kingdom, right? That the kingdom of God is called spiritual. Now, when you hear spiritual kingdom, don't think it's just spiritual because we can't see it. It's in the realm of spirits. It's in the spirit world.
Mm.
So God's kingdom is, you know, they're not saying that. It means that it's a kingdom that is according to the king's nature.
Mm.
The king's nature is spirit.
Mm.
So his kingdom is his dominion, is a spiritual dominion.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, in the book of not Psalm 103, in the book of Hebrews, and in also in the Psalms too, it says, who maketh his angels spirits, right? Psalm 104, who maketh his angels spirit, and ministers a flame of fire. That word maketh his angels spirit is talking about the highest class.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Those highest class are the cherubims, okay? Those ones, he calls those ones spirit. He calls the seraphims ministers. But ministers are not spiritual beings.
Yes, sir.
They are spiritual beings. Even when you come below them into the realms of principalities and powers and then might and dominion and all those guys, they are all spiritual beings. So spiritual in terms of their outward form is not what we are talking about here.
Mm.
When we're talking about God's nature. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
now, angels. When you see a principality in the spirit, when you, a principality is a kind of an angel, the angelic cadres that God made. When you see a principality is a spirit, but is a spirit in terms of he's invisible. What makes angels invisible is because they have spiritual body. You understand? There is your natural body, right? And then there is what? A spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you see it there. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, what makes angels invisible is body, property, is spiritual. Praise God. But when we're talking of who maketh his angel spirit, he's not talking of the body. All their bodies are spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about their inward angelic soul, the nature of their soul. Is that the cherubs are spirit, more spirit than the seraphs. So because they are spirit and they have to be spirit, because they are the ones who what overshadow his mercy seat. They are the ones who keeps God, who stand in his presence. Right? So you have to be spirit to keep a spirit. You have to be spirit to carry a spirit. Praise the Lord. If you are not spirit, that was her tongue. She was just saying something about that, you know, nature, preparation, right? He was spoken about the, he said, I'm going to come to refine, right? As a fire. He began to speak about fire. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Bless your name.
Mm-hmm.
She was speaking about fire, right? That will come to prepare the vessel, that will sanctify the vessel, so that that vessel can then receive him, right? That him that wants to be received is spirit. So for him to be received, they have to make the vessel spirit, not body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Vessel. Your real vessel, right, is your soul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can say your body is a vessel because your body houses your soul. So in that sense, it's also a vessel. But this physical body is actually not God's vessel in terms of God's habitation directly, right? The place, the house of God is the soul of a man. That's the place where God resides. That's where he designed as his habitation eternally. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that soul, in order for God to be able to reside in a soul, that soul has to become spiritual. Without becoming spiritual, you cannot house the spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 And let's read this 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. It says, for as much as 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or even from verse 2, it says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with what? The Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, right? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but what? The Spirit giveth life. Amen. So, when he says us, who has made us able ministers, praise God. He wasn't speaking of this Corinthians, you and I. He was speaking about us, so themselves. Right? Those apostles who were made able ministers. Praise God. Okay, so, you see that he made them able ministers to minister the Spirit. That's what they were ministering. Amen. He asked me, what was Paul ministering? Paul was ministering the Spirit. Who was Paul? Paul was a minister of the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why we say, when I came, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. Because why? He's a minister of the Spirit. So I can't, but when I came, I couldn't speak my ministry to you. I couldn't really minister to you. I could say, man, if you read that 1 Corinthians, a lot of the, he was just addressing carnal stuff. Most of that book was addressing things, you know, malice, you know, strife, envy, admonishing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But his ministry, the ministry we they had, which was the ministry of the New Testament, is actually a ministration of the Spirit. It's the Spirit, is literally giving. So when I say Spirit now, you know what I'm saying? What am I saying? I'm speaking about God's nature. Right? What he's saying is that I am a minister. He has made me an able minister of the divine nature. Right? To minister God's nature to you. He says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Now, by 2 Corinthians, they are journeyed. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So for him to be able to call them epistles of Christ, it means that God has helped them out of flesh and they've been able to make migration, right? And they've been helped out of carnality. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
They've been helped, they've been brought out of carnality. Anybody who hasn't been delivered from carnality, it doesn't matter what you've experienced, you've not been helped. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what victories someone attain in this world. If you are still carnal, you are in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are in bondage because you become, when you are carnal, you become a servant of sin.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Anyone who is carnal serves sin. It's not possible to be carnal and escape sin. It's not possible. Do you know why? See, because whosoever you yield your members to obey, that person's what? Servant you are. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can't be free from the bondage of corruption or the bondage of sin without coming into a higher nature. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you can't come into a higher nature unless you receive the ministration of that nature, which is the ministration of Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In verse 17, he says, that same chapter we are reading, right?
Yes, sir.
He says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. What is liberty? Freedom. Yeah. Means you are delivered. Praise God, out of the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Right? There's something called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. What? Who are the sons of God? Right? As many as are led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. They are the sons of God. Praise God. So you can't be delivered out of the bondage. What is that? What's the verse is that? Delivered out of the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons. Amen. Amen. So that glorious liberty, praise the Lord, is a function of deliverance, soul deliverance. And nobody can just leave sin or carnality. You can't set a date, right? A calendar that, okay, it sounds funny to you, but we do it.
Yes,
so you might not physically carry the calendar.
Yes.
And write it down, but in your mind, say this thing. Well, I will stop it. I will become spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I will become spiritual. You postpone it, but nobody can walk out of the flesh. You don't know what the flesh is. The flesh is a technology of a fallen angel. It's Satan's design. He's all his intelligence. Praise the Lord. He did all his wisdom. He used it to produce an intelligence called flesh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Flesh is a prison. Amen.
Amen.
Someone who is carnal is in bondage. It doesn't matter. You can advise them. You can't advise them out of carnality.
Hmm.
Advice, you can, oh, okay, you advise and they agree.
Hmm.
But after the agreement,
no.
Am I speaking a different language? Maybe, are we from different planets? Praise the Lord. What is what I'm saying? Is it making sense to anybody? Is it true?
It's nice.
It's nice. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So this is a fortress, right? Flesh. When I say flesh, no, I'm not telling your body. Flesh is a life. It's a program. It's a way of being. A way of living. You're just carnal. Praise the Lord. Just that carnal life. You're just carnal. You can't just decide one day and say, I won't be carnal today again. Do you know why? Because that is strong. Praise the Lord. It's a bondage. So for someone to come out of the flesh into the spirit, you have to be delivered.
Yes,
sir. Means that someone who has the antidote to the flesh must visit you. You must receive what? A visitation from what? Someone. And who is that person who has the antidote to the flesh? It's called the spirit. It's called the spirit of liberty.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So if you've not come into dealings with that spirit, you can't escape the flesh, no matter how hard you try. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What sets you free from the flesh is the learning of the spirit. The learning. You must learn the spirit. When I say learn the spirit, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the learning of that nature. Why is God the way he is? Why is God God? There's something within him that makes him who he is. That nature is called spirit. He's spiritual. God is spirit. When you begin to learn the nature called spirit, praise the Lord, that nature will begin to bring a different definition of life to you. This whole full syllables of that spirit nature is what we call the New Testament. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is what we call what?
The New Testament.
The New Testament. The Testament. The Testament is the written law or the writings of a law, right? There was the Old Testament which wrote the old law, which tried. It tried to begin sin and it failed. Sin was so intelligent. It sin took occasion by the commandment, and by it slew me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sin became exceedingly sinful. That's not my language. That's Paul's language, right? Have you not seen that? Romans 7. Amen. That was the command. When sin saw this thing called command. Okay. We can use it. That's what sin said when he saw that law of Moses. We can use it. So the law became a weapon in the hands of sin to kill further. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because when sin sees a law that it can use, sin is happy. Do you know why? Because what makes sin strong is law. You know, sin. What makes sin strong? Sin is looking for law. That's why sometimes, praise God. That's why sometimes it's dangerous to bring just a carnal law, an outward law, to a sinner. So most times you are doing more harm to them than good. That's why religion without spirit is more dangerous than no religion at all. Because when you deliver religion to a sinful man, you are giving, you are arming sin. You are giving sin weapons. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It becomes more, it becomes stronger. 1 Corinthians 15. He said that the sting of death is sin. And what? The strength of sin is the law. Praise the Lord. The strength of sin is the law. When there is sin, and then you bring a law to sin, I mean a substandard law to sin, what you are doing is that you are giving sin a way to become established. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're giving sin a way to what? To become established. Because law is a tool for establishment. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Is it what? Is a tool for establishment. In a nation, if you just leave people do whatever you want, right? Human beings are human beings. They won't do the right things. You have to write it down. These are the laws of the land. When you write it down, right, you're trying to establish those laws. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The reason for written law is for establishment. We want to establish a certain code. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But sin can use that thing and establish itself. As long as that law stands, sin is established. That is what sin used the law to do. When sin came, they brought the law. Men, the intelligence of sin, found how to use it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
How it became sin was able to drive itself deep into man because of that law that was weak. So, but to defeat a law, you need a higher law.
Mm-hmm.
All right? A different law, you are in trouble. Once law has hit sin, you're in trouble. That's why you see the worst kinds of unbelievers today are the ones who maybe they grew up in church, or in some cases in dead churches. Have you ever met some before?
Mm-hmm.
They can quote Bible, right? Because they were in church. You know, the parents were taking by force. They were taking them to the church, right? They were hearing everything. They heard all the scripture. They heard Sunday school. They know all everything. Praise God. So such is so, because if you heard all those things, where do you start preaching to them from? What has happened? All those things they are hearing, seen in them, has taken those things, handled it, packaged it, put it in the corner, turned it into a weapon, is waiting for you. Come. You have, in short, I have more scriptures than you. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In this land of Canada, a lot of people are like that, because a lot of people, their parents or their grandparents were Christians, right? And many of those churches now are dead. And the corruption has taken over. And some of these people, it will be harder to win them than maybe someone who is just in a land somewhere where the Christianity has never gone to before.
Mm.
Those ones, you can just bring just simple, "For God so loved the world," and just give them a simple story of how Jesus came and died and everything. Holy Ghost will grip their heart. "Wow, what a beautiful story. He came and he died for me." "So you mean he died for me? He died for me." And then the Holy Ghost can hear just a simple story of redemption. Just, and they are born again. Simply. And then they start growing in God. But these ones who have been going to Sunday school since they were young, what story do you want to tell them? I mean, what has happened? They've received so much letter without spirit. But what happened? The letter kill it. Letter kills. It's dangerous. To expose a soul to letter without spirit. Because letter can't handle sin. Letter can't deal with the sinful nature. The only thing that can do it is called spirit. A higher law. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The law of the spirit of life. Let's read that Romans 8. It's called the law of what? The law of the spirit of life in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Amen. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. So there is a walk after the flesh. Then there is a walk after the Spirit. If you're not walking after the Spirit, there is condemnation.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit of life. Are you seeing that language there?
Mm-hmm.
What? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So it means Spirit. In Christ, this Spirit now is not just saying spiritual nature, like an angel is invisible or something, or gifts of the Spirit. They're talking of life.
Yes,
life. There's a Spirit. There's a Spirit of His life. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Christ. There's a Spirit. We say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and so that believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave His Son. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is actually an offering of life.
Yes.
He actually brought a life.
Yes.
He's not just a good guy with sayings that you can read. He brought a life.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He's not just a good teacher. Good master, good master. I know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do the things you do except what?
God
be with him. What did Nicodemus see?
A good man.
A good man. Did miracles. Says nice things. First, wow, what a wise man. Must have been admiring Jesus. You know, he came by night. He came by night. He must have been looking at Jesus. Ah, this guy, wow, he's not like us. He has a different method. The method with the way he talks, the way he... this is something about this man. Praise the Lord. What he was seeing was just an outward guy, right? Say, good master. And he was saying that Jesus stopped him. What Jesus began to tell him? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he can't enter. And then he began to say, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You can't tell where it's coming or where it goeth from. So is he that is born of the Spirit. That's why I say, whatever is born of Spirit is Spirit. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. See, why did Jesus just enter the way I'm talking to him about Spirit? Means that what you are seeing about me and what's exciting you, that's not who I am. Praise the Lord. That's not really who I am. That's not, you don't know me. You can't know me, Nicodemus. Later I said, I've told you of earthly things. You can't even, you don't even know them. Praise the Lord. How will you know if I begin to tell you heavenly things? I mean, there's more to me than you see. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So is he that is born of the Spirit. So is he that is born of the Spirit. So is he that is born. To be born of the Spirit, to be born means you came to life.
Yeah.
Right? Of the Spirit means you've entered the life of the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is that life? That life is this, the life of the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Which is in him. Jesus Christ, you can know his parables but not know him.
Yes.
Like those disciples did. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because who he was, you've not come to him. You've not known him if you've not known that life. The Spirit of it, the life that is in him. That life is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 8, right? He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in what? Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in the epistles, the way they mention, when they mention Jesus sometimes, when they mention Christ versus Christ Jesus, they are is on purpose. Right? What he's saying here is the law of the Spirit of life in the anointed one, Jesus. Him using Christ Jesus is not out of place. The word Christ, Christos, is the anointed one. Praise the one that has the anointing. The anointed one, the one that has the spirit. Praise the Lord. So he says there is a law of the spirit of life in he that has the spirit. There's a way the spirit operates in him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a law of that spirit. Say, the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free. Are you seeing freedom? From what? The law of sin and death. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He has made me free. The Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Right? That liberty is talking about liberty from sin and death, or liberty from the flesh, or from carnality. It's actually liberty from babyhood. Do you know that? Do you know that every baby has to be delivered from his babyhood?
Yes, sir.
Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
Every baby has to be delivered. If you just leave a baby, you don't deliver the baby from babyhood. If you can have a 9-10 year old baby. There will be a point where, okay, nice, breast is nice. It's time to stop sucking breast. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know that. You know that kids don't really give up breast. Mommy! Mommy, I think it's time to move on to perfection. As I say, those who are weaned from milk, drawn from the breast. You have to draw them from and they are clinging onto it. You have to draw them from the breast because they don't give up the breast. That drawing from the breast is deliverance. You have to deliver the baby from the breast.
Yes.
Otherwise you can suck that breast and keep sucking it. Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you can't just, you don't just coast into being into my church. There's a deliverance. Spirit. To come out of flesh, spirit must come. You must have, there must be doses of spirit. Spirit must be ministered to you. That's what Paul was doing to these churches. He was ministering spirit to them. As he was ministering spirit to them, they were being raised, becoming spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You need the ministration of the law of the spirit of life in order for you to come out of carnality into perfection. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I said to you that that ministry is the ministry of the testimony. It's the New Testament. The New Testament. Not according to the letter, but according to the spirit. Let's read it. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
We worship you. Thank you, Father. For as much, verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Amen. You see that word Christ there again? Right? It means it's the epistle of the anointing. Or the epistle of the anointed one. Whenever they say Christ, they are not speaking of just that man, Jesus. Christ is that inward nature. That's what made Jesus different from Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Nathaniel, and co. And all his kindred men. You know, they all grew up together, right, in Nazareth and all that. Praise the Lord. What differentiated him from them was he was Christ. The others were not Christ. He wasn't just Jesus. He was Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What made him different was from the womb, from his conception, the attached spirit to him. You see, spirit is what defines a different life. John, it wasn't conception, but at some point in the womb, he was filled. And because he came into spirit from a child in the womb, when he was born and began to live, his life path was different. He wasn't like everybody. He wasn't like the kings and the palaces. He was in the wilderness. He lived a spiritual life because of spirit. You can't access God without spirit. You can't know him without spirit. Without spirit, or without the learning of the spirit, you will be separate from God. There's no other way. It's not possible. You can be a teacher of the book, of theology, a student of the Bible. You can know everything, but you can't know God. You can't. You can't know God without spirit. That spirit method, praise the Lord. See, you see that way of the spirit? That's what needs to be taught again in the last times. The church has gone away from it. We've gone into different things. We've gone into intellectualism. We've gone into philanthropy. We've gone into all kinds of things. We've come to define many things as Christianity, but that's not Christianity. There's something called the way. The way. It's called the way. In the New Testament, sometimes they call them the way, the people of the way. Praise the Lord. They know the way. They know the way to God. The way to God is the way of the Spirit. If you don't learn the Spirit, praise the Lord. If you don't learn, your soul doesn't learn the Spirit, you won't know God. God, you know, God is actually a real entity. He's a real being that your soul can come to know. He's not an idea. Right? He's not an idea. He's actually real. He's someone that you can enter into fellowship with, like John entered into fellowship. He said, an hour. He said, these things we declare unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. What kind of statement can you say that? How many people can really say that in our day? That I know him to the point where my writings can bring you into that fellowship. See, these things, I'm writing them to you so that by these things you will enter into my fellowship. See, indeed, my fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Praise the Lord. You can't. You arrive at that fellowship by learning of the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is what God raised the apostles to do. To culture the church by the Spirit. To teach the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the what? Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. So you need the Spirit to minister the Spirit. Here. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, the spiritual nature is a writing. Amen.
Amen.
The spiritual nature is what?
A writing.
Is a writing. Where is it written on? It's written on the heart. But who writes that nature?
Is
the Spirit. Without the Spirit, you can't come into Spirit. You see that? Without the Spirit, you can't come into Spirit. You can't know Spirit. You can't access Spirit without the Spirit. In the Godhead, you know, they have their different functionalities. There is the Father, there is the Word, there is the Spirit. Right? The Father is Spirit. Right? His Spirit is Father or Spirit. The Word is Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is Spirit. Not Spirit in terms of their spirit beings. In terms of their life. Who they are. Praise God. But they have functionalities to us. Of them, that third one is a mystery. That Holy Ghost. He's too mysterious. The truth is that he seems like the smallest. He seems like the smallest, but that is that thing is an arrangement to hide them. You see, you know, the Father, the Son, they're actually hidden. They are buried inside him. They are what? Buried. They are deep in him. Do you know everything that is in him? That spirit. He though yet is invisible. Do you understand? Spirit. Why they are all invisible is because they are in him. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. If God steps out of the Holy Ghost, he's exposed. Because his hiding place is the ghost. What is the nature of a ghost? Why is it a ghost? Because it's mysterious. That's what a ghost is. Right? It's a ghost. Ghost. I saw him there. Where is he? He's not there. Again, he's a ghost. That's the nature of a ghost, right? That ghosted nature. That's the nature is one of the primary native characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He's ghostly. So the Father, in order to be invisible, you know, they're not just invisible to creation. They are invisible to everything. They are just invisible by nature. Their invisibility is the property of they being hidden in that being called the ghost. Anything outside that ghost is not hidden. Is exposed. Anything outside that ghost is not safe. That's why he hid himself there. That's why he hid his kingdom
inside
in the ghost. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is inside the Holy Ghost. Anything that's precious to God, he kept it there. They are all inside the Holy Ghost. When he says that, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in a light. What is that light? A light. Dwelling in a light. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When he says in Psalm 104, he who weareth the light as doth a garment. Are you ready there? He wears light as doth a garment. It means that he's covered with light. That light is his spirit. That's his covering. The Holy Ghost. You understand? So Jesus came to the earth and thought and thought and thought and did everything. And then he said, okay, I've done everything with you. I've finished my own part. You know, he came with spirit and did his course. And he finished it. And now told them, okay, I finished my own. Now, even though you've been with me all this while, and I did all this activity of spirit. You know what was going on in Jesus while they were with him and just chatting with him? They didn't know what was happening in him. Life. What? Praise the Lord. Mortality was being swallowed up of life on the inside of him. He said that he condemned sin, and for sin, condemned sin in his flesh. He was walking and condemning sin. Means that there were operations of the spirit ongoing on the inside of them. And while he was with all those guys, but while he was with them, he said that I can't bring you into my operations. Even though I'm with you, I have to go. If I don't go, spirit will not come. If spirit does not come, you are helpless. Me being with you and laughing with you is not enough to bring you into where I am. Is not by association.
Yes, sir.
It's not that we are there. Oh, were you in that meeting? I was there. Oh. I can't miss now. I was there, man. It's not by I was there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's not that you are there. It's that there is a dimension that Jesus, that was his feeling. I know you are with me now, but there's a realm I need you to be present in.
Mm.
That you are not present in that world. You're not in that realm. And it can't happen. For it to happen, I have to go. And then I will pray my Father. He will send the Spirit to you. Because the Spirit is the one. He is the entrance. This season, what I'm saying, God wants to baptize us.
Amen.
This baptism is not for now. It's for years to come.
Yes, Lord.
The abounding of iniquity in the world. Religious mind can't handle. You can't handle what Satan is cooking. He's cooking a stew. He's cooking a soup for the world. He's still in the world. He's still putting his salt and everything. He hasn't brought it out yet. By the time he unleashes what he's doing on the world, even the religious brother will be in trouble because he hasn't lent the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If God has to hide in the Spirit, who are you? If they have to, before they made sure, before Jesus stepped his foot in this world. In short, even not just the world, even the womb is never safe. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, so
they have to make sure that Spirit is involved in his conception. If they have to be so careful about protecting him like that, then who are you to think that you can do anything without Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Don't make anybody feel like this Spirit. You are the Spirit every time. Spirit, please. Why, Spirit? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And don't let sometimes the devil telling you all these spirit things self. Why can't you just come to a meeting and we just do and just be like behave like civilized people? Why do your meetings have to be different every time? This is all we shout and this is all we talk. Why can't you just come and just nice people and just have a clean meeting and go? Why is this spirit for every time? Don't allow the devil lie to you. When they ask you why spirit, you say yes, spirit. Because when you see Jesus and the Father, what are they talking? Spirit. They don't say, all they are saying is spirit. That's their conversation. Praise, that's their world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They don't live outside the Spirit.
No, sir.
There's nothing outside the Spirit. Everything outside the Holy Ghost will pass away. That's why you have to be engrafted into the Spirit. They say, oh, you become heavenly conscious, earthly useless. Well, that's a blessing. Because there's nothing here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fasta sica tecla teste fita hata prande se che fritisa. Har cassatia ta fasate preti tisa do luce di li che vide. Efte si se tempa tisa. Haste che cretiso tora ta ta ti. Deste si se storo di brete che cata. Halleli venete si che te credi gigigidi sa ta pa pa ta 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 Frusta si kakari kaka si. Frusta si kakari kaka 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 Curia de los Goritas.
Sole,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Again, my spirit, the spirit of the Lord saying that it's no coincidence that the Father of Spirit says you must serve me in spirit and truth. And I still sent my spirit who said to send to the church that I sent my spirit who will teach you all truth and guide you into all truth.
Yes.
I've sent him to teach you all truth and to bring you into all truth. And I've made him to abide in you. But in the real sense, you need to abide in him. Because he is the spirit whom the world cannot discern. Whom the world does not know. Whom the world cannot discern. You submitting and abiding in the spirit is the process of you separating from the flesh. It's the process of you living spiritually. It is the way you become spiritual. I can only abide and dwell in spirit, and I have made the avenue for you to come and to live in my spirit and to be my place of abode, but I cannot abide in a carnal place. I can only abide in a place that is spiritual. I can only abide in a place that is spiritual. And I have made the avenue for you to become spirits. I have sent my spirit to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's continue. Let's continue just quickly. We'll round up very quickly. I want to just follow that interpretation. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to John chapter 14. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
John chapter 14, from verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. A place for you. I go to prepare a place for you." So there is a place for you. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you." Where? "Unto myself, that" what? "Where I am." Where I am. "That there ye may be also." Where is he?
In the Holy Ghost.
He's in the Holy Ghost. He's actually in his Father's house. His Father's house is the Spirit. So I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am. You know, he wasn't saying futuristic. He said that I am there as I'm right now talking with you. I am in the Spirit. I'm in the Holy Ghost. I'm in there. So that this place where I'm operating from, that you might what? Be there what? Also. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way. Jesus said unto him, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, we don't know the way. You know, Jesus was a prophet. When he's saying, ye know. He was speaking to them prophetically. It wasn't that they knew. Because if they knew, he wouldn't ask us, okay, where is it? Because the next verse, he was asking. You understand what I'm saying? He was asking. Jesus spoke like that sometime. You know, Jesus was a spirit. He was high. Imagine a man, every word he was saying was prophecy. Every word he said was doctrine. There was no word out of place. You can go and study it we've been studying it for thousands of years. Right? Just his sayings. His sayings means for someone to be able to speak like that is not ordinary. You must be in the Holy Ghost. Right? Jesus was in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is right. His teachings are the most sophisticated of all the teachings in the scriptures. If you are a little baby, you will see your own message there. It will minister to you. If you are a little, you've grown a little, you will see another message there. Like those beatitudes. Some of them sound like simple story. You can even teach a child. You know, there are some epistles you can't start teaching a child. You can't tell a 5-year-old, let's open to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. What do you want to tell him from there? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And every high priest thinking from among men, ministers unto men. You mean to tell a 5-year-old that? No. But you can open that and tell a 5-year-old, blessed are the poor in heart. You understand? You can tell them, blessed are the peacemakers. Simple. You understand? But those teachings of Jesus, they are high voltage. They are actually more concentrated than the epistles.
Wow.
To be able to do that with words means you are coming from a place where you are speaking from. You are speaking from a world. Where a world higher than words. You can enter and you can use words. You know the end of words. You know which words to pick. All the human vocabulary. Because when you are a spirit, you are not, you know, the way we are now, just a simple communication. As I'm teaching now, God has to help me, Holy Ghost has to help me to find the right words. I might not even say it well. You know, but because he's coming from a higher, he's speaking from, who is sent from God, speaks God's words. He who comes from above speaks from that realm. So Christ, even though he was with them, you know where he was speaking from? He was speaking from that place where he said, where I am. That place where I am. That was where he was. That was the world, those teachings, those mountain teachings were coming from. Jesus wasn't, I don't think he wasn't struggling with language. He knows how to weave the grammar. He knows how to arrange the story. That in that story, it will be ministering agelessly. God, Jesus was ministering eternity. At the same time, he was just telling stories. And the kingdom of God is like unto a man who will find a treasure in the field. And when he has found the treasure, he will go and sell all that he has and come and buy it. It's just a simple story. But those things are revelations. You understand what I'm saying? That was Jesus for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus, he says that where I am, that's where I am. He had arrived at that place. Training. Who was training him?
The Holy Ghost.
From when he was a kid, they were teaching him spirit. He was just learning spirit. He was learning spirit. He was learning spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He was there. Jesus, go and get me some water. Mommy, here is the water. Yeah, but in that learning spirit, inwardly, there's a learning of spirit. Oh, Jesus, Holy Ghost, Jesus, don't do it that way. This is not how. From little like that, before you know it, they graduate him into higher things. I'm sure it got to a point where they began to teach him about nature, teach him about creation, teach him before he began to grow. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit. the Holy Ghost introduced him to his father. He got to a point where he now knew his father. You know that? Do you know that? Do you know that? He was knowing, just little by little, for 30 years. He got to a point where he knew his father. They now became pals. Right? They entered full communion. Whatsoever I see my father do, that's what I do. It was just every time. He said, the son doeth nothing of himself, but the father who is in him doeth the works. He had entered into, I am my father, we are one. I am my father, we are one. He came into oneness with his father by the learning of the Spirit, because the Spirit knows where he kept the father. Mm. So he can take him to the father. He knows where the father is hidden. He brought the son there till he became engrafted into the bosom of the father. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten son who is in the bosom, he has declared him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So he told them, so this was Jesus. He said that where I'm going, right, whither I go, verse 4, ye know. And the way ye know. Then Thomas said unto him, of course, doubting Thomas, said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we what? Know the way. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have what? Known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth, or means sufficient for us. If you show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, saith that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And what? I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another comforter, that he may what? Abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and what? Shall be in you. Praise the Lord. I won't go further than that because of time. This passage is loaded. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
First of all, he told them that he asked him, okay, Philip asked him, verse 8, show us the Father, it's okay for us. Verse 9, he just said, have I been with you so long and you've not what? You've not known me, Philip. So have I been with you so long, you've not known me? Because you're asking me, where's the Father? I say, if you've seen me, actually, you would have seen the Father. It means that apart the me you are seeing is not really me. Right? Because if you've really seen me, you wouldn't ask that question. Means that there is a sight. Why would he say you are not seeing me? Because I is hidden. Right? He is, even though he has this physical, that Jesus man was with them. But the actual man, the Christ in Jesus, right, the Son of the Father, is actually hidden beyond their seeing. They could not see him. They can't see him. He says that He that has seen me means really has what? Seen the Father. Why will you say he that has seen me has seen the Father? Because he is with the Father. Right? He is what? With. I and my Father, we are one. It's oneness in nature, oneness in stature. They are oneness where they are in the same place in the spirit. But you can't see them the same way these guys couldn't see them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, he shall do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you now go down to verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see that? Why can't the world receive the Spirit of truth? Because it neither sees him, nor what? Knows him. Are you seeing that? So, the world can't see that Spirit. And they can't know that Spirit. Right? The reason why these people couldn't see Jesus was because they had the eyes of the world. You see that? They had what? The eyes. When you have the worldly eyes, that worldly eyes, the configuration, the eyes of the world is the eyes of flesh. Canal. The carnal eyes. That carnal eyes, the world is a veil. You know that? The world is what? The world is a veil. The only place, that veil can only be taken away by the Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, or you are not having the ministration of the Holy Ghost, you can't deal with the veil called the world. You'll be seeing your interpretation is worldly, according to what the world has programmed. That's how you will see. So when Jesus comes to you, all you are seeing is that worldly eyes. All the world saw in Jesus was a natural man, an outward man, a teacher, a nice man, a good man. That's the same sight they had at this point. Why? Because they were seeing him the way the world. Mm-hmm. The only time that somebody got a glimpse was Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a quick glimpse. He asked them, they asked them, okay, who do men say that I am? They said many things. Then who do you say that I am? Now say, who do you say? Then inspiration. What was that inspiration?
Revelation.
That was spirit. That was a spirit activity. Quickening.
Mm.
He just dropped a revelation in him. Then he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living. Then now what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot reveal Christ. Means you can, so in that instant, Peter was able to see him. He was talking, they were talking, but he wasn't seeing him. But when Jesus asked him, in that split second, you are Jesus, the anointed one. He discerned that this is not just Jizo. Now we are following around that this was the anointed. I'm sure he must have seen the anointing on him. He must have seen the Spirit. This is not just in normal guy. He says, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Son of the living God. So, but the eyes of the world, see, flesh and blood can't reveal this. You can't. What flesh and blood reveals are outward things, natural things. A lot of our Christianity is flesh and blood Christianity. If all your Christian life is all the outwardness, it means that you are not having revelation. You are not seeing well. Something's wrong with your eyes. You are not born to live like men do live. You should have a different sight. When your sight is different, your sense of values changes. There are some things that used to be things to you before, they are nothing anymore. Because you are beginning to see real things in the Spirit. That's what the learning of the Spirit does to you. It makes you able to see beyond what the world sees. When the Holy Ghost begins to operate within you, you now begin to see Christ. You understand? You begin to who? To see Christ. When you are reading the Bible, you are not seeing scripture you can use to pray to get what you want. You're not seeing prayer points. You are seeing Christ. You are seeing Christ. You go to Revelation, you see Christ. You come to Ephesians, you are seeing that same Christ. You are seeing the same way. You are seeing Him. Because you are relating with that Spirit. The author of this book was that Spirit, yes, right? Mm-hmm. He said there's no prophecy of scripture is capable of any private interpretation, but holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, you can read Bible with the eyes of the world.
Yes,
but when you begin to access Spirit, you will now begin to read Spirit. And when you are reading Spirit, you will begin to see Christ in the scriptures. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's so much, but we can't even begin to. The world is opening to us. Something is opening. The redefinition. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just begin to thank God because of time. Let's just thank Him for His word. Tonight, Mr. Krendos. Fasta Elivata.
Oste Kratos Alpha.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to pray. It's just really one prayer. It's many, many prayers, but I just, it's in summary. I want us to pray because when the season of the Spirit comes, it's not a season for strength anymore. See, not by power, by mind, but by my Spirit. Yeah, that was what changed the tide in the building of the temple when that revelation came, that it's not by power or might, it's by Spirit. So when season of Spirit comes, it's not the Spirit of power of effort, and you know, no, we've come into a new terrain.
Yes, so.
It's a new, it's a different way,
yes,
about moving you forward.
Yes.
So all you have to know, all you have to have is just yielding capacity.
Yes.
You know what I mean by yielding?
Yes.
Is that it's not you trying, is that they are coming to you.
Yes.
You just need to be able to discern,
yes,
how they are coming. And then learn to yield. I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Lord, I want help for yielding. To be able to yield, you know, yielding to the Spirit, you can miss it. You know, there's a way you can be so in yourself, but are not conscious of the Spirit. But let's pray for help to learn how to yield constantly, steadily, daily, continuously, ability to yield inwardly to the Spirit so that you can learn the Spirit, yielding to the tutelage, ability to yield to the training of the Spirit, to yield to the cause, to abandon yourself to Him, to let go of the grip you have on yourself, on your life, and let Him take the wheel. Grace to yield to the Holy Ghost. Mashte Andre, Master Grazil, Marane Serino, Merido Seria, Maneta, Paraste Griasto, Vasquese. Pray for sensitivity, heightened sensitivity to the Spirit. Embrace the data. Help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, learning the Spirit is like a school. It has a syllabus, right? Spiritually, it's a school. And every school, every education, at the root of it, you find discipline there. Discipline is steadiness. mean, there are things that there's a way you ought to be. Not that you are here today, then next time they find you there is next 2 weeks or next week.
Thank you.
Is steadiness, right? It means that constantly you are learning the discipline. You are submitting yourself like a student. Every morning you wake up, you wear your clothes, and you go to class, and you sit down. You don't wake up every morning and start deciding, school or no school. It's programmed into you. Mm-hmm. You wake up, you put on your clothes, you go to class. You're not thinking of, oh, what are we doing today? No, you go to class and you sit down. Mm-hmm. That's how it is in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Constantly you are showing up to be led. Mm-hmm. You are making yourself available to be led. You are aware that this is a discipline, is a commitment. Let us pray that for some kind of inward strength to be supplied to you for commitment to the training and the discipline of the Spirit. That strength will come from God. Divine strength by mercy. Mercy will result in strength. Mercy horistus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we bless your name. We worship you tonight. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful, Lord. It's one thing to gather. It's another thing for you to show up and minister to us and help us by your Spirit. Father, we thank you for this visitation tonight. It's just the beginning,
yes, Lord,
of a fresh season, yes, Lord, season of blessing, of increasing us, of moving us forward. Father, we build an altar here this evening, an altar of thanksgiving. And we allow praise and thanksgiving and appreciation to rise to you. Because without the prerogative of mercy within you, that chooses to help us, we are helpless. Yes. So, Father, we thank you. We offer thanks. We receive your word with thanksgiving, with gladness tonight. Father, we don't know the way to use it, to keep it, to hold it. We still need help, Lord. Father, as we're living, we're not leaving the world behind. We're not going away. We are taking it with us for continuous impartation.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask, let grace be ministered by these words.
Amen.
Let life be given by these words.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, because ability to yield to the Spirit, even greater, in greater dimensions, you will supply.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Patekish the Kandra, the Israelia, Facetus the Heavenly, all Pastorinis, Korandi, Karade, Kamudon, Devredain, Va. Father, Lord, we pray from today, we will no longer be found outside the Spirit.
Yes,
we will make the Spirit our home.
Amen.
We will enter the anointed land.
Amen.
The anointed way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We're trusting you for even more.
Yes, Lord.
We bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I pray for everyone here under the sound of my voice. Let there be an impartation.
Amen.
Of spirit.
Amen.
And of life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
My mind to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and said that wherefore knowing no man after the flesh, that we knew Christ after the flesh, but from us, we knew him no more after the flesh. So it's also just brought to my mind to where he was teaching the disciples how to pray. that he said, give us our daily bread.
Mm.
And he said, this is the bread of life. So what came to my mind was that we should no longer know Christ after the flesh, or we should know him after the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, it's our daily bread. So it's, he didn't say it's our morning bread, it's our afternoon, night bread. He said daily bread. So it means every single moment.
Wow.
Every single moment.
You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell.